Today on this Spotlight episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk just a little bit more about video game music. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bashan. Like I just said a moment ago, we're going to spend just a little bit more time talking about video game music. As I mentioned, this is a spotlight episode, which breaks the normal format of my show. I don't have a panel of experts, and I don't have necessarily an outcast. The episode will be shorter. This episode will serve as a companion piece to our larger video games podcast that we did. So I encourage you to listen to that either before or after this, and hopefully you will enjoy that. Like I said, we're going to be discussing video game music, and I've got an expert on. He's all the way over in New York. He's been on before, and his name is...
Scott Ross.
Welcome back, Scott.
How's it going?
Pretty good. So people are probably wondering what's going on here. For those in the listening audience, Scott and I are really good friends, and our friendship was forged through video game music, kind of, so...
More than kind of, and back in 2000... second half of freshman year. We weren't really friends the first half of freshman year, but I weaseled my way into your Dungeons and Dragons game, and you were playing music during the game, and one of the things you played was an orchestral version of, I think it was the cave theme from Final Fantasy VI, and which, oh, it's so beautiful. And I remember going, oh my god, they made an orchestral version of this? And you're like, yeah, they made orchestral versions of all of this. And you took me back to your room, you showed me all these music, and then from there you let me play Symphony of the Night, which I had never played, and that soundtrack was amazing. So yeah, I definitely say that video game music definitely forged our friendship.
I think specifically what you listened to was a Celtic arrangement of Final Fantasy IV, which I had imported from Japan, which is really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
Oh, the Celtic. Yeah, Celtic.
God, man, you know what? We were such nerds back then, right?
Completely.
We've grown up. We're so cool now.
We're super cool now.
In case people are listening to you for the first time, Scott, we know you're a gamer, so what are some of your favorite video games?
Oh, I'm a Nintendo boy through and through. I love my Zeldas. I love my Marios. I love my Metroids. Huge fanboy for Nintendo. I got a Nintendo in 1986 and never looked back. I eventually broke down and got a PlayStation when Square moved over to PlayStation.
Ah, as many of us did.
Yes, I did.
The great Square migration of 97.
Yes, and that is the only reason that I continue to get PlayStation. For a lot of the JRPGs, most of them are only on PlayStation or Xbox. I love the new wave of action RPG, like Uncharted, Assassin's Creed. Those are all great games as well. But JRPGs and action-based platformers and Zelda, that's where I live.
Is there a game that you're playing right now or that you remember that you really enjoyed that just surprised the heck out of you? I would like to go on record and say that Shovel Knight, it didn't actually surprise me, but I knew it was going to be really brilliant, was freaking amazing.
Shovel Knight, awesome game. Like, Shovel Knight was a mixture of Mario and Castlevania and Mega Man.
And a little DuckTales.
And a little bit of DuckTales. But oh my gosh, that game was great. It was hard, but it was not too hard. It just reminded me of those. It reminded me of those really, really difficult platformers back in the day. Anyway, that was absolutely amazing. My game right now, which once again didn't surprise me, I knew this game was going to be this good. Is Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8 is one of the best games available right now. Period. It has supreme play control. There's not a game that has better play control than Mario Kart 8. It is so much fun. It's so much fun by yourself. It's so much fun with friends over. It's so much fun and freaking hard as shit online. It's so difficult. You think you're like an amazing Mario Kart player. I went and I got 3 stars on every cup and every PC class, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm the best Mario Kart player ever. I play online, man. Man, am I humbled. Whoa. It's quite difficult. It's mass hysteria online. It's crazy.
Excellent. Cool. You're also a musician, right?
I am a musician.
Can you
yes.
speak a little bit more about that?
I play guitar, electric guitar, piano, bass, mandolin, banjo. Yeah, those are all the instruments I play. When I write my music, I normally stick to a guitar and electric guitar. I was raised on country music, but then I grew up and started listening to, like, you know, Dave Matthews Band, John Mayer, and Jason Mraz and stuff like that. So the music I write is a combination of all those things put together.
Nice. All right, so you're a well-rounded musician.
Yes, well-rounded musician.
Excellent. Well, I can't think of a better person to have to talk about video game music. And people may not realize this, but you were actually scheduled to be on our initial game music podcast, and then there was a snafu, so I'm glad that I was able...
I have music rehearsal. I had rehearsal for my band.
Let's
a music excuse.
That's a good excuse. Let's jump in. So I have a couple of different talking points that I want to go over with you, Scott. And some of this came up during the course of our larger discussion. But first, I kind of want to ask you, is there a specific moment that you remember, either as a kid or later on in your life, where video game music really stood out to you as something separate or special or I don't know, music worthy?
I'm going to give you two moments because these moments, I can't pick between two of them. I'll start with the first one chronologically that happened. I actually think that the second moment had more of an effect on me, but the first moment had an effect on everybody in the entire world who did this. The first one by far is Final Fantasy VI. And bar none, everybody says the best part of Final Fantasy VI is the opera scene. Celeste has to fill in for the lead actress because they're afraid she's going to be kidnapped by Ultros. So they put in the badass warrior Celeste, but then they're like, hey, you have to sing these lines and you have to do the entire aria. And they do the entire opera. And Umatsu wrote an entire Italian opera for this little 16-bit scene in this video game. And it is just unbelievable. And everything from the battle music with Ultros in that scene to the music where you're walking around, you know, trying to prepare for the opera. Like, that was just fantastic. Absolutely amazing. Moment number one. And a quick moment number two is the very next game in the series, Final Fantasy VII, the most iconic part of that. Spoiler alert, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VII, Aeris dies. But her theme is the most memorable of the entire game. And when she gets killed by the sword, her body kind of drops and her hair unfurls and a little pearl comes out of her hair. Come to find out, that's the holy materia. That's the big, big deal. And it comes out and when it hits the ground, that's the first piano note of that song. Your heart's breaking, you're so sad, and then this beautiful, you know, sad yet hopeful song starts, and that moment has impacted me forever. Every time I hear that song, I envision that little pearl bouncing on the steps down into the little puddle of water.
I have a somewhat similar experience. There's a very specific song in Final Fantasy that really caught my attention, even at the time that I played it, and it was in Final Fantasy IV. Specifically, the track is called Into the Darkness, but it's the music that plays whenever you go into a dungeon or a cave, and you first hear it when you leave the Kingdom of Baron and you go into the Mist Cave.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, it's kind of like, it's got almost like this bit of like, I don't know, like maybe a Danny Elfman vibe to it. It's just got this weird mysticism about it that I remember when I was playing, I just kind of stopped for a minute and didn't go into the, like, I stopped at the entrance to the dungeon and just sat there watching the mist flow by and listening to that music. I was like, oh, this sounds really great.
Yeah.
Also, a really good example of the Super Nintendo's sound chip capabilities.
Absolutely. I remember with Final Fantasy VI, I would leave on the Overworld theme, Terra's theme. I would just turn the game on.
Really?
And turn the volume on the TV all the way up and, like, do dishes and, like, clean the house. Like, that would... I would, like, have it blasting. I just, you know, just be on the Overworld just so I could hear the theme of that song. This was obviously before I was able to get my hands on the soundtrack.
Of course. So something that we talked about during the course of the podcast, Scott, was why do people listen to video game music? Is it for nostalgia reasons? Is it so it takes you back to when you were a kid, or do you feel the music is good by itself and it's separate entirely and can serve that purpose?
I think that the music can take on a life of its own and can be separate, but I have to be honest and say that's not why I listen to music, and that's not why it has an effect on me. I think it is 100% nostalgic. When I hear the soundtrack of Chrono Cross, that puts me back to sophomore year at college. When I hear the Metroid Prime soundtrack, that reminds me of the senior year when we're at Taft, at that house that we lived in. Like, every Final Fantasy VIII reminded me of when I had to live with my uncle in my first semester of college. The Super Mario Brother theme reminds me of 1986. Like, I have very distinct moments in time when I was introduced to that specific game. And so when I hear it, it just takes me back to that time. So I definitely think it's nostalgia.
So just going along those lines then, do you not listen to soundtracks from games you have not played?
You know, I don't seek them out, but I have been introduced to them mainly by you through role-playing, because I can't do a role-playing game unless there's cool music in the background, and that's why I don't like to role-play with anybody but you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If anybody ever gets a chance to RPG with Chris Bashan, he is bar none the best GM on the planet. And it's 95% the music and 5% storytelling, but I'm just kidding. But it's like 50-50.
As the way it should be.
But I never played Xenogears, but that soundtrack is amazing from me listening from you. And actually, there's a couple games I went through very quickly, and I only remembered a couple of the songs because you would, you know, played them, and I went, oh yeah, that is from that. Oh, this is a really good tune. So yeah.
So do you feel that game music is at its best when it's within the confines of the game that it's meant to be experienced in?
I do believe that. I do believe that it is at its best when it's, you know, in the game. That being said, you can use the music for many other things, and you can fool people. Like, one time I played, you know, the prologue, the orchestral version of the prologue from Final Fantasy IV, you know, and it just sounds like this beautiful orchestral piece. And then I go, oh, by the way, that's from a video game, you know. Like, this sounds better than most movie scores that are out right now, and this is from a video game. So...
You know, speaking of the movie score thing, I mean, obviously game budgets have really exploded, and they are now hiring composers or doing full orchestral arrangements. Is there a type of game music that you really like? Is it that old 8-bit chiptune? Is it the Super NES Genesis era? Is it now, you know, post PS1, you know, full on symphony or CD quality sounds? Is there soundtracks that you tend to gravitate more towards?
Well, I'm a little bit of a, I like to have my cake and eat it too. So my favorite thing right now is when they take the songs that were written on 8 and 16-bit games and they fully orchestrate them.
Yeah.
Like the Phythos Lusek Venusek album, Final Fantasy VIII. I played that game again, and I have a lot of love for that game, but I will finally admit that it's not one of the best Final Fantasy games. I've played it like 4 times now. It's not. It's a little spammy with the junction system. It's a little, you know, it's a little kind of weird and a little kind of, you know, kind of there's a bunch of plot holes. But man, that soundtrack, that I think the soundtrack was the reason why I for so long would tell you that was my favorite Final Fantasy game. And that orchestral version of the soundtrack is mind-boggling, you know. Even down to in the game, the man with the machine gun is just like, you know, house music backbeat, 4 on the floor. But you put the orchestra to it, and you have the flutes and the clarinets doing the deca 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 deca, and then the violins come in, and it just creates this unbelievable orchestra piece for a house tune. Like, it's really awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Another example of that is Smash Brothers. Lest you forget, Smash Brothers, the music was already written by hundreds of composers, not hundreds, probably 10, but a bunch of composers. But Koji Kondo came in and he rearranged all of the songs with full orchestra. Mm-hmm. I mean, from every Mario game and every Zelda game and every game that appears in Smash Brothers, and they did it for all of them. And I can't wait for what they do with Smash Brothers Wii U, because I'm sure it's even going to be even better, and the arrangements will be even more amazing. And they'll have everything from Tropical Freeze to 3D World and all the other great songs that came out of those games too.
Tom mentioned Smash Brothers in our larger game music podcast, and Smash Brothers in particular is very fascinating because it's a celebration of many things, one of which is the music, and all of that music is rearranged or orchestrated in some fashion. And it's, if you own the Super Smash Brothers soundtrack, you're essentially getting like the greatest hits of almost all game music, which is really fascinating and really a good soundtrack.
Absolutely.
I am curious to ask you, Scott, what soundtracks do you own? You don't have to list them all, but I'm just curious, are there any soundtracks you're particularly proud of? Final Fantasy VI, obviously.
Anything that Umatsu has done, I have it on my computer. So that even like Lost Odyssey, all the Final Fantasies, all the orchestral game concerts, those are really, really good. The Celtic Moon, that one, that's just fantastic. They took all the Final Fantasy IV and made it all Celtic. That's amazing. That's about it. I have a couple of songs here and there from certain games, a couple of Xenosaga, some Xenogears. I have a bunch of stuff from you that I don't know what game it's from.
Interesting.
I have a couple. There's a couple crystal themes which aren't actually from Final Fantasy. They're from another game. You told me what it was one time. I don't remember.
I have an extraordinarily large music collection, or a video game music collection. I have everything from Mega Man to selections from Skyrim. So I have so much game music, I probably should go see seek help or find a counselor.
You definitely win at that. Like I said, almost everything I have, I got from you, or I got it from that website Blue Laguna before it went under.
Oh, fascinating.
That's who I got it from.
That website I think is still up, actually, by the way.
Did they make it up? Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So I've noticed a lot of what you've spoken to, Scott, is Japanese composers. Is there a composer in particular that you want to discuss or that you just want to give some love for?
In Japan, the Japanese composers?
Or worldwide, honestly. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, for some reason, I feel like the Americans and the Europeans don't know how to do a proper game score.
That came up. That came up in our discussion, and I was wondering if you could speak to that. We noticed that we just tended to talk a lot about Japanese composers, and I don't know if it's because we all played consoles as children and were raised that route. I mean, Tom was a PC gamer, so we did talk a little bit about PC composers, but
yeah.
It just seems that Japanese composers. People know them better. Any theories as to why that might be?
I have a couple. And it's not that the American music is not good, because I mean, Quake, the original Quake was done by Trent Reznor. I don't know if you know that. He's, you know, it's Nine Inch Nails. He's an amazing musician. Jeremy Soule is pretty famous. He did all the Oblivion and Skyrim, and he also did Secret of Evermore. For Squaresoft back in the day. But even that, like, my issue with the way that Jeremy writes, it's not thematic.
Hmm.
It's great atmosphere music. It's wonderful ambient music, but it's not thematic. Like, you hear the overworld theme in Final Fantasy VII, and when you're done playing the game, you still have that one thing in your head. Da 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 da, and that's just that simple melody line sticks in your head. I remember when playing through Oblivion, I had a conversation with somebody. I was like, "Wow, this music is fully orchestrated, but it's so like, you know, it's so." And it's also really in the background, and it's just it's atmospheric instead of thematic. And you don't remember things that are atmospheric. You may say, "Oh, that game had great music," and then I'll say, "Great, hum me a song," and you won't be able to do it.
Hmm.
Most people won't be able to do it. I think Dragon Age. He was a what's his name? Einon Zor. He's Israeli. Dragon Age did a really good job of that. There was a couple themes, but once again, it's the a lot of the American games are first person,
mm-hmm.
and they want you to take on the character, and so they don't have like themes for each individual characters. I mean, you look at Final Fantasy VI. Every single one of those characters had a song. That was their song. You look at Chrono Trigger. Every single one of those characters has a song. That was their song. Mario has his theme music. Zelda has his theme music. Samus has her theme music. I think it's that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Like when I guess that's also like the type of music I gravitate to. Like I'm just sitting here looking at my movies on my shelf and like take Star Wars for example. Like the Imperial March.
Oh yeah.
That is a theme. That is a theme that like sticks with you. Or like Lord of the Rings, the theme of the Fellowship. Like I guess I really am more into like thematic music than atmospheric.
Hmm. Yep. And like I mean you look at John Williams. John Williams knows when to say, "All right, this is a theme," and "All right, this is atmospheric." Like you even listen to the entire opening of Star Wars, we're very thematic, and then the orchestra pulls back, you know, and you hear the clarinets going, and that's when the ship flies over, and then right when it hits the big part, that's when the ba ba ba, like, you know, that's all thought out, and he is one of the best, and will always be one of the best, and if he ever did a full video game score, it would be unbelievable.
So you feel that Japanese composers tend to be more thematic. And
absolutely.
The rest of the world tends to be a little more atmospheric, just because of maybe the nature of the games.
Yeah, I think that too.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Halo had some pretty good music too. But once again, I can probably hum the opening theme of Halo,
mm-hmm.
but nothing else.
Okay.
Where I can hum you every Final Fantasy game, and I've played a lot Final Fantasy. Obviously, I'm a fanboy, but you know, I've only played Final Fantasy X one time through. I've only played 12 one time through. I've only played 13 one time through, and I can hum you songs from all of those.
Man, Nobuo Yamato is really your jam.
he's my jam. He literally his music affects me emotionally.
Let's
that's another thing too. Like a lot of the songs in Mass Effect and Dragon Age, they don't. affect me emotionally. Whereas you walk into Fisherman's Horizon, once again, that game, it's kind of stupid if you think about it. Oh, we're in this weird town in the middle of nowhere that's like a stadium, and we crashed here. And then you get there, and this beautiful, unbelievable music plays, but it's a little kind of so beautiful, it's creepy. Like, it's...
like something's wrong with this place?
Yes, it's so beautiful and amazing, but you're in this town and with this mayor, and you're like, what is going on? The music of that game made it better. It made it better. And I don't think the music of Mass Effect made Mass Effect better. Mass Effect's just a great game. I don't think the music made it better.
We've mentioned Nobuo Uematsu quite a bit. Do you feel, two questions to you, Scott, do you feel he is essentially like the John Williams of video game music? And if he is, do you feel his compositions are really groundbreaking? Have you listened to anything of his that is not in a video game? Like, how do you judge him as a composer, Scott?
I think he is the pinnacle of video game composers. There are a few who can argue that. I mean, Koji Kondo, it's pretty hard to say he's not the greatest. I mean, he owns three of the most, you know, memorable tunes, like, in the entire world. Whereas, you know, Nobuo Uematsu, I wouldn't say that about him. Like, his music is just so emotional. I do think, you know, I've heard a little bit of Uematsu's non-video game stuff. And it's great, but I don't have any, like, connection to it or any nostalgia to it from playing an amazing game, so it may have a little bit less of effect on me.
Okay.
I think they are very skilled in doing what they do, and that's writing music to help define a mood or, you know, an event or things that are happening that are going on.
So, Scott, I tasked you before coming onto the podcast. I sent a couple of questions your way, and now it's time that I hear your answers on them. My first question was, if you were to go up to someone and recommend three soundtracks to them that they needed to listen to from all of video game history, what three soundtracks would you push on them?
All right, well, first and foremost, I've already mentioned it, so I'll say it again. The score of Final Fantasy VIII is fantastic.
Okay.
To step away from Final Fantasy, we'll move into Chrono Trigger world. But I wouldn't give them Chrono Trigger, because though Chrono Trigger is fantastic, it pales in comparison to Chrono Cross. Now, the game, not so great. the game was okay, but the Chrono Cross soundtrack, track for track, is unbelievable. It is fantastic. Just absolutely amazing. And then I would say Super Smash Brothers Brawl, and probably the new Smash Brothers. If you have that soundtrack, you have you have history of video game with the most amazing arrangements you could ever ask for, and you know, life is good.
I am really surprised you did not say Final Fantasy VI.
You only let me say three.
Oh, okay.
Final Fantasy. I was gonna see Final Fantasy VI is my second favorite soundtrack, but there was so much love to Final Fantasy. I was like, maybe I'll talk about, you know, some other things. But look, Final Fantasy VI is the reason why I love video game music. It was the first.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, track for track, it's amazing. Setzer's theme, the both airship themes. They give you two airship themes. Oh man, the cool distorted banjo for Shadow's theme. You got to make sure you save Shadow. Did you save Shadow the first time through?
I save Shadow every time.
I didn't save Shadow the first time, Chris. I killed him.
Oh, that's like killing Magus in Chrono Trigger.
I never killed Magus.
Yeah, that's a whole separate discussion.
Well, I did kill him. I killed him one time to get that. You have to do that to get the frog ending.
Of course, and that's really kind of pointless because he's an amazing sorcerer. Why would you kill him?
It's like, why would you kill Mangus? You really need him.
I generally agree with all of your selections. So, you know what's funny about Chrono Cross? I think Chrono Cross is actually a really great example, at least for me, of a game that is not nostalgic at all. Like, I played Chrono Cross once. I really wasn't taken with it. But I have that soundtrack, and I listen to that pretty disconnected from the memories or events of the game or of my childhood of when I played it. So that soundtrack is fantastic. It's so, so good.
You know, I completely agree with you. I played through it one time. I had a lot of fun in the first 75% of the game, and then the whole ending, trying to wrap my head around what they were trying to explain, I was like, what? So I've been working for the bad guys the whole time, but they wanted me to, but you're actually a good guy, wait, what?
Yeah.
It's just bad. But that soundtrack, amazing.
Oh, it's so good. We should point out that is Yasunori Mitsuda, I do believe. So he's great.
Yes. Fantastic.
And just to answer my own question, and I guess throw a little variety out there, I would throw in either Super Metroid or Metroid Prime. Both of those games have phenomenal soundtracks. And interesting enough, because they are atmospheric, but they're also thematic at the same time. They blend both of those very well.
You are absolutely right. And I will speak to definitely Prime. When you hear the Prime music, you really feel like you're on this, you know, jungle type planet in the middle of nowhere, you know, like the overworld theme, and it's raining a little bit and you got a weird creature over there, but that theme, it's in my head, I can hear it right now and sing along with it. Yeah, the Prime sound, all three of those, man, the Prime soundtracks were awesome.
Oh, they're so good.
Man, those games were so good.
Yeah, they were, dude.
Oh man, they didn't do well either.
No, they didn't, dude.
What is everyone's problem? No, we need another, I don't know, we need something just killing people. Call of Duty 9, yeah.
All right, so let me get to my second question for you, Scott. My second question that I tasked you with was similar to the first. If you had to go to someone and you could only present to them three songs from video game music, what three songs would you show them?
Well, oh gosh, only three? Why would you do this to me?
I know, right?
Well, one of the songs I would give them is Time's Scar. Track one from Chrono Cross. Boy, does that just, like, get you going. It has that soft beginning and, like, an actual flautist. You can hear the breath that they take. Like, oh, man. And then it gets going. It's very tribal, yet and thematic, and you know, everything you need out of that.
That's also, we should mention, that CD quality audio at this point. That was on the PS1 for Chrono Cross.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what are your other two?
I've already mentioned this one. I'm going to have to stick to it because it is one of my favorite, and that's the Fisherman's Horizon from Final Fantasy VIII.
Hmm.
Specifically the orchestral version. I can turn that song on. It'll immediately put me in a good mood, but at the same time, make me a little anxious. But yeah, I turn that song on and that chorus starts, you just feel like you're in heaven. You feel like you're all set, everything's good, everything's gonna be okay. Or is it? But you know, for at least the time being, it is.
Ooh.
All right, and what's your third?
And the third, I'm going to have to say it's Terra's theme from Final Fantasy VI. That's that opening theme you get. It's so amazing. And that they got you in the mech, and you're walking along the snow in Narsh, and you hear the music start playing.
There's another game that there's another song that's a great example of it. That song is introduced to you in essentially a cinematic, but then it becomes Terra's theme and the main theme of the game too. And
yes.
It's so good. So good.
Yeah. So perfect.
I will answer my own question, and I'm curious to see how you respond to what I say, Scott. If I had to go to someone and give them three songs, for a great example of chiptune music and just what the NES was capable of, I would give them Dr. Wily Stage 1 from Mega Man 2.
Yes!
So good, so fun, so like just such an empowering song. Like, you've played through the game, you've got all your weapons, you have arrived at Wily's fortress, and it is time to get this show on the road. It's time to just fight, and it's such a great song.
I wonder if they're going to use that for Smash Brothers. I wonder which Dr. Wily, because I know there's a Dr. Wily's level, I think
there is. Yeah.
I wonder which song they're going to pick, and it'll be fully orchestrated. It's going to be amazing to hear the Mega Man music orchestrated on the new Smash Brothers.
They have to use that song. It's probably the most iconic of all of Mega Man.
Yeah, I think they're going to use it. It's going to be great.
I would also present One Wing Angel from Final Fantasy VII.
Absolutely. One Wing Angel is as good. I mean, there's three songs in that are amazing: the opening theme, Aeris's theme, and then when you get to the end, One Winged Angel with that choir of people screaming Sephiroth. Oh man,
I was not expecting that either. The soundtrack to that game was really, really amazing, and then you get to that final battle, and this song starts playing, and. And it's so creepy, and it's so great, and it suits that final battle so well. It really is one of Umatsu's best works, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I agree. I miss him doing Final Fantasies. It makes me sad. I feel like I would forgive all of Final Fantasy's shortcomings if he would just, you know, do the music. He did the online version, but I don't play MMORPGs. I'm 33 years old. I got shit to do.
I know. Yeah. My final selection, the final piece of music that I would present to someone would be Zelda's Lullaby, which it's in almost every Legend of Zelda game. I currently am really digging the Skyward Sword version of her theme. It's really beautiful.
Puts me right in Zelda. Like, I'm in the world. I have heart pieces. You know, I have a bracelet, and I have bottles with fairies in them. Right when I hear that song.
Her theme is like, this is a girl you want to rescue.
Yeah.
This is a girl you want to date and take home to mom and dad. Like, it's such a great caring theme.
She needs rescuing.
All right, sir, that brings us to the end of our Spotlight mini, but probably longer than it should be, episode. Is there anything that you want to mention as far as game music goes?
No, just, hey, Nobuo Uematsu, you know, the new Final Fantasy 15, whatever. Just give me something, man. Come on. Come on, man.
All right. Nobuo listens regularly. He writes in all the time. So I'll make sure that he hears all that.
Nobuo sounds like a Japanese robot. It's the new Nobuo 2000. Hello.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you for that. Great, sir. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with me for a little while here about game music. If people want to find out more about your music, where can they find it?
www.bourbonandbliss.com. We're also on iTunes. Brand new album just came out. Check us out on iTunes, Bourbon and Bliss.
Great. Well, I've been your host, Chris Bashan, and speaking with me today has been Scott Ross. Scott, thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll have you on another podcast soon.
Can't wait.
All right. Take care, and thank you for listening.